Hi there, CN Winters here again. I'm going to do an overview of each season to kind of give you an idea of working from my very bad memory moving forward. It's hard to remember certain things going back that far, or at least it is for me. But what I'll try to do, like I said, is describe what we wanted to do with each season, players that we had, which had an impact on that overall year, and kind of a behind-the-scenes look at what we went through each season. We opened up the first season, the first episode, with Something Ventured, Something Gained. I'll go into different DVD commentaries on the episodes as time permits. But we opened with that one, and we ended with Another Apocalypse. And I think if you've read the first season, you kind of see how the season did progress. We started off first with wanting to introduce the characters, even though most people know who these characters are. We just wanted to give an overview of where they're at after Buffy ended. And when I say where they're at, I don't just mean physically in Cleveland. That was also an important part because we wanted to show the area and let people know where they were, what was around there, what was important to that particular area of the country. And we also wanted to talk about where the characters were emotionally, where they were with the events of what happened at the end of that year with Buffy when the final season. Really, the first five episodes, for the most part, is character establishment. We're trying to decide who all the players are, how they relate to each other, and then build those relationships from that point forward. We get to we created our own character, Rowan Alistair. We knew we wanted somebody that was a woman who was a watcher, that was very old school, kind of stiff upper lippy, bug up the butt kind of person who was annoying but was also very good at what she did. And I think we succeeded rather well, actually, in that respect. David Zaire originally did the workup for her, and what we do is for each new character that you'll see in Watchers, we actually have a profile sheet for them that talks about everything from, where they were raised to what their favorite color is. And that helps our writers, I think, a lot in terms of being able to get inside the character's head, so when they do put that character on a page, it really comes through. But so the first five episodes were Something Ventured, Something Gained, Lake Erie, Foreign Presence, Untimely Arrivals, and Broken Allies. Those last three episodes that I mentioned is pretty much our Rowena arc. This is where we get, although she appeared in all the episodes, these were actually the first three episodes where we establish her character because viewers aren't familiar with her. She's totally brand new to the world, and we wanted to pick somebody that wouldn't be offended by working on a storyline that involved lesbians. For those of you that may or may not know, Michelle Williams did a HBO special, Behind the Walls 2, that dealt with lesbians, and she played a lesbian. So, for us to use her, that really was one of the chief reasons. I remember when David came to us, when he was plotting out the character, he showed this picture of her to me, and I said, this girl can't possibly be this young. She looks too old. No offense to Michelle Williams, but she just carried herself as being much more mature than what her actual ages are. I guess she's one of those people you could say has an old soul. And she just looks, like I said, much older than what she really is. So I told him, I said, I want to make her, this character, slightly older than the group, maybe by about 4 or 5 years. So she's actually more in line to Robin's age than she is to the Scoobies. So we have this character then that we had to try to introduce. We did that the first year. As we get into the later episodes, Soham, which is the episode 6, our Halloween episode. One of the things that I try to do each year was do a Halloween episode in Watchers. Halloween is actually one of my favorite holidays, so this is one in particular that I wanted to continually do each year. Plus on Buffy, I loved the episode Halloween, and it was our first introduction to Ethan Rain, another character that I enjoy. And so this also gave us a chance to showcase some of the other kids that are coming in, the slayers that they're finding, and one in particular named Marcia, which Willow eventually oversees because she learns that she is a watcher. And it gave us the chance to also bring back a dead character, Anya, who talks to Willow about Xander, having to find him, and that he's not dealing with things rather well. When we first started, a lot of people said, well, you know, why do you have Andrew there, but you don't have Xander? And there are a lot of Xander fans out there, and I love Xander as a character, too. But I knew that I wanted to include him later in the season. I didn't want to bring all his baggage from Anya's death and everything that transpired in Sunnydale into the storyline at that point. So we basically had him living the nomad life. He was traveling place to place, not feeling any better, getting more depressed. And so we knew right away that we did want to bring Xander into Watchers around mid-season, but we didn't want to do it right from the get-go because we had other characters to introduce. We had to establish Cleveland as a location, and I just think that having Xander there would have detracted from that. So usually what I told people when they wrote is just stay tuned. Keep watching. He's not forgotten. And, you know, I knew at some point that we would bring him back in. Now, this was a spinoff series of Buffy. It was not a Buffy Season 8. So the other question, of course, is where's Buffy? You know, if this is a Buffy series, why isn't Buffy in it? Well, it's a spinoff series. It's like, for example, most recently, I would say Frasier is probably the most successful spinoff series, but that's a spinoff of Cheers. So you weren't going to, you know, see, you know, Sam Malone on Frasier because it wasn't about the Cheers cast. It was about this one character in particular. So Watchers was, you know, as in the same vein, is a spinoff of Buffy. It has characters that were featured on Buffy, but not all of the characters themselves. And for years I told people, Buffy will not be back, Buffy will not be back, because I kept getting requests to bring Buffy back, or, you know, not, I can't even say requests. People were asking, where's Buffy? Why isn't Buffy in your show? So-and-so has Buffy in their show. And, you know, I just wanted to kind of drive the point home that this is not Buffy. This is actually, you know, focusing on these other characters in Buffy and their lives. So when episode 7 came around, we knew we wanted to include Ethan Rain, and we also knew that we wanted to bring in Buffy somehow. So what we did is we brought in Dawn, and we had a discussion about what we were going to do as far as Dawn character-wise. And I thought, well, what if Dawn met a girl, and since, you know, she was raised in an environment for the most part of sexual orientation not being an issue, what if this was somebody who became her girlfriend? So we built the character of Skye, who we don't see in this episode. We meet her in later episodes. But essentially, Dawn comes to Cleveland to visit for Thanksgiving. Because again, this is when we were in our second run. In Love and War actually opened up our second run in the first season. And she you know, comes to Giles. And the one person that she doesn't mention the girlfriend to is Willow. And I specifically wanted it that way because I wanted Dawn to not have it be a big deal. That's, if, you know, for her, she just happened to fall in love with Skye, very much like Willow happened to fall in love with Tara. So for that situation, you know, I wanted to make sure that she didn't come across as making some kind of political statement, because that's not why we did it. We just wanted to actually, at that point, bring in another lesbian into the storyline, but somebody who was off screen at the time. Now later, this will have a different reaction, or actually, it ends up being something completely different in terms of building the storyline. And we've had critics say that, well, you know, it's pretty much just a lesbian show. You know, you have no gay men, you have barely any straight couples, but the truth of the matter is really it's about 50-50. And while it is true that is more than what you would find in a normal setting somewhere else, whether it was another business, a college, whatever, if you look at statistics, that, you know, 2 in every 10 people are either gay or bisexual. So that's 20%. So when our couples are 50-50, then yes, we do lean more towards couples who are homosexual in nature, but we do also have heterosexual couples, and that's the thing, is that I don't think most people see that, because they're not necessarily the primary focus all the time. And when we have other characters, particularly Kennedy and Willow, who are lesbians, then that kind of pushes it to the point to where, you know, they're featured more because they are main characters. But Faith is featured, who's heterosexual, or at least, you know, bicurious, maybe, I don't know. it's kind of difficult as to where, you know, Faith is at. But I do believe that when it comes to it, you know, Faith drives stick. that's who Faith is. So, you know, we have Faith and Robin. We have Giles and Becca. We have We have Andrew and Tracy. At one point, we had Xander and Vi. Later seasons, we had Jeff and Hope. We've got, like I said, we have a mix of heterosexual couples, but for the most part, the storylines that are the most front and center are the ones with the characters who are lesbians. So, in that regard, I think that's why viewers say, well, it's very much a lesbian show. Well, it's not the L word by any means, but it's also not, you know, just a the sexual orientation of the majority of the characters isn't heterosexual. So that's one of the things that, you know, with Watchers too, we didn't set out to do that in regards to making, you know, any kind of statements, but it ended up being that way because of where the storylines went. And we'll get into all that later, but when you have so many single lesbians, you're going to have more lesbian storylines, of course. But anyway, getting back to, just getting sidetracked, getting back to season one, we knew that we wanted to bring Xander back, so we had to give him his eye, and not because it was the right thing to do, or the fair thing to do, or we loved Xander so much and wanted to give him his eye back. It really came down to necessity. We knew we wanted Xander to come back, but we didn't want to keep drawing eye patches on him forever, and we didn't want to have to just use 3 outfits that we had him in screen caps. So that means Xander had to get his eye back. If we actually had produced Watchers as a television show, Xander never would have gotten his eye back. I did like the fact that, you know, the Scoobies had gone all these years. While it's true that they did lose people, the core Scooby group really didn't have to deal with the consequences of defending the world. And I like the fact that Xander was the one who was injured. Not that I wanted to see anything bad happen to Xander, but it was nice that one of the characters, at least, did succumb to being a victim of something. And, you know, other than losing, you know, someone that they love, you know, Buffy lost Joyce, Willow lost Tara, Xander lost an eye, and then he lost Anya. So Xander really is you know, he gets an unfair shake. But you know, trying to balance the scales and, you know, giving him his eye back wasn't done out of fandom. It was done out of necessity. We just didn't want to torture our artist to try to draw an eye patch on him every time he's in a scene, which, believe it or not, is a lot harder to do than you might think it is. So that's essentially why we did Another Year Older. When we wrote it, I knew what we were going to do because, again, we knew we wanted to give him his eye back, but we had to have a way that was believable. And I had asked Susan Carr, who was a Wicca, and, you know, how can we do this? Is there something magically that can happen to where Willow can restore his eye? And she mentioned that sex magic is actually one of the most powerful magics that there are, and that if he had any shot of ever giving his eye back, it would have to be as a result of sex magic. So, as I told her, I didn't want to get into like a fanfic kind of story for Willow and Xander shippers. I wanted something that was, you know, based in the religion. I wanted something that celebrated their relationship as friends. I wanted to create something that kind of put Kennedy at a point to where we learn more about her. We know that she loves Willow. She doesn't want to share Willow in any kind of sexual way. She's very committed. But in the end, she's also very torn. And I think you can see that, you know, as I think Faith points out, that, you know, she was there that night that Xander lost his eye. And had Xander just turned and ran, he would still have his eye, and chances are Kennedy would be dead. But Xander went back for Kennedy and, you know, essentially saved her, got her out, and that's how he lost his eye. So if, you know, the one thing that you know, she might be able to do for him now is to, you know, accept the fact that Willow is going to do the spell with Xander. But it's doing the right thing isn't always being able to do it's the easy thing. And that's one of the choices I think that, you know, that we see in particular in that episode, another year older, is that we get to see Kennedy's growth as a character. And that was one of the things that I wanted to do too with season one, was to expand her and to show, you know, a different side of her. And during all of this, Willow and Kennedy have kind of had their, I don't want to say ups and downs, but they seem to click real well physically, but when it comes to emotional issues and compatibility, they really don't. And that's one of the things that's I went into season one knowing I wanted to break up Willow and Kennedy. Because we've never really had anybody that just broke up on Buffy, at least not the supporter characters for the most part. Because even after Xander left Anya at the altar, they were still a couple for, you know, practical purposes. They hadn't given up on each other. And we never really had anybody, you know, especially Willow, who walked away on her own. You know, Oz left Willow. Tara was killed. But Willow was never one to say, you know, it's been great, but it's just not quite working the way I wanted it to. And, you know, again, it comes down to, you know, fandom. A lot of people like Willow and Kennedy. A lot of people don't. So I was, you know, once more getting, you know, hate mail and love mail. People who were, you know, cursing me for breaking them up, and other people saying, oh, thank God you did that. So it really was, you know, a mix, you know, 50-50 as to what people thought about it. But in particular, I wanted to get Kennedy away from Willow, not just because of the characters and I didn't quite see them as a couple, but also to give Kennedy a chance to grow on her own. This way she wasn't just the girlfriend of Willow. She was her own character in her own right. So that's why we kind of broke them up and why we tortured them. I'm going to go ahead and stop now. We're pretty much at the halfway point of season one, or at least the one-third point. But that's kind of an overview of the beginning of season one, of where we were at and where we planned on going.